NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
What's poppin', congregation? It's a new year, right? New year, new me, new we. I'm playing. We're going to do the same damn thing. Y'all, welcome to Scam Goddess Podcast, the podcast all about fraud, robbery, those who practice it. Maybe we love them, maybe we hate them. Let's hop on this ride and see together. And as all of you who have been with me through thick and thin over the years, you know I'm very... yes, excited. We have a friend on the show, which y'all know tends to get messy. Friend on the show. Today, we have the amazing writer and comedian. He's a UCB alum, along with yours truly. We actually were on some teams at the cult together. He hosts and produces the podcast Get Played on Earwolf Congregation. Please welcome Matt Apodaca to the show.
Hello. Wow. Can I just say, I just love your whole thing.
I love your whole thing, Matt.
I love it.
You've been in the podcast game much longer than I have. Yeah. You were just saying before we sat down that we've been doing this for a long time and now we're here.
Yeah, it's I think it is safe to say we met in the year 2015. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's when I moved to Los Angeles.
That's right. Yeah, we met shortly after you got here.
Yes, and very shortly.
I remember... us being placed on a mess hall team.
Yeah, it's like no one's going to know what that is, man.
No.
Why would you even say that? Improv is so embarrassing.
It's so, yeah, every time it's ever been like depicted in like TV or movies and stuff, I'm always like, why'd they make it so embarrassing? And then it's like, oh, it's because it's like the worst fucking thing you could do. It's
right.
So embarrassing.
And writers always hate it. If you ever see anything about improv, it's always, I remember there's like a Family Guy joke that was like, the only person who loses in improv is the audience.
Yeah, oh, yes, yes. It's like, it's just so bad. But it's like what we did and, you know.
I mean, we still do it. I love how we're saying it in past because don't want you guys to know. We're like, it's trash, y'all. I'm like, why would anybody do that? Also, can I get a word?
Yeah. No, it's. I would say at this point, for me, it seems like it's in the past tense based on
how many
shows they're asking me to do. which is
grown
zero.
Adults with kids doing make 'em up.
Exactly, I know. But practicing in somebody's living room, we're all... in our 30s.
We don't do the living room no more because we was like, this is just down bad. We cannot be running around a coffee table.
I can't have your significant other coming into the room being like, are you guys done yet?
That was always the worst. Yo, I had one roommate who like, we hated each other. And we met, it was like circumstance. You know, that was my first, I don't know if you ever practiced at my place, but a couple times we had to practice there. And she would come in all mad and shit, slamming all the fucking cabinets and shit and staring down the improv team. Just like, I've never seen somebody work so hard to make people uncomfortable. What a bitch. And she knew I was doing it. I asked to practice. And it wasn't all the time. It was only when we couldn't find somebody else's living room.
Do you think it's because she had like, banger initiations that she couldn't do? And then she's like, I'm not even on this team, but like, I have a perfect tag for this.
Honestly, there's a fine art to being a bitch, and she really perfected it. I had never seen anybody just be this, such a bitch so
I
hard.
I do agree with that.
She came in with tactics.
Sometimes when you see it happening, it is just sort of like, wow, like actually, no notes. That was fantastic.
You are evil.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, wow. You're a capital B bitch. Congratulations.
Right. Somebody got to be a villain, you know, and wear great costumes and be in the Marvel universe, but just in real life.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is very much just like, it is a skill because like you have to sort of really like put everything else behind you and be like, I don't actually care how I seem.
Yeah.
This is directly getting in the way of what I want, and I don't like that.
When I come in the room and everything falls quiet because they're talking about me, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I loved that.
When people see me out in public and I see them hide behind a shelf because they don't want to talk to me.
There are so many shelves in public that there are just people like hiding, reaching.
In droves.
Wait, there's not enough room behind this one. I got to hide.
We walk into a Publix or something. Everyone's like, is there an attack happening? Why is everyone like jumping and dodging behind the? Oh, no, that's just me. Everybody hates me. Don't worry. There is no active event happening. It's just me.
But if I ever found out anybody hated me, oh, boy. Would ruin my life.
It would ruin
my life.
I'm somewhere on the bitch Kinsey scale because I know there's people out there who hate me. I can't help it. Every now and then I just gotta cuss the motherfucker out, and so we're gonna end on bad terms. And that's the Cancer and Aries in me. I'm so sorry.
It's gotta happen. Sometimes
I'm gonna tell you where
to
go and how to get there. Hey. I'm trying not to do it as often anymore.
Yeah.
But sometimes one time I used to be, I cussed somebody out and got a standing ovation from a valet line that I didn't realize had been listening to every word. So you know, sometimes yikes, that be happening
everywhere she goes. But, Lacey's got a captive audience. We love it.
Good or bad.
We love it.
But Matt,
we can't stop looking at her.
Oh, God, no. Hopefully not that. I'm trying to be incognito, just the most invisible Negro, okay? If I ever go missing, I want them to be like, she had a nothing that lit up any room. We never knew she was there.
Last seen wearing a Cancel Me Daddy hat.
Lacey was like a cool breeze. You felt it, but you never really knew.
That's exactly what everyone would say. No one would ever say she had the command of every room she walked in.
Just like, oh, we felt like she was here.
Yeah, like, oh, Lacey, yeah, I guess I know who that is.
Yeah, she loved eating chips, so we know she was in there touching
she
stuff.
She loved chips.
Dorito dust everywhere she went. But Matt, we always love to ask on the show, what's your relationship with scams? Have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? Do you hate them? It could be anything.
I don't know if I love them or hate them. I do like hearing about them, so like hearing about them from you is like fun, and that I've always known that to be like your thing, and I would always be like, oh, Lacey's got the mess, let's go, I want to hear more about this.
So you're more of a voyeur, like if there was a scam sex party, like you're gonna be the one like walking past the rooms like, what y'all doing in there?
Yeah, I'm gonna be walking like, past all the rooms. I'm gonna be there for sure. First of all, I'm invited.
Sex parties have hella pizza.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, wait, there's fucking cold ones here.
Which is not a sexy food to me. I haven't personally been to one. I'm very curious, but my friends who like go to sex parties, like there's always for some reason like a lot of them have pizza.
I can guarantee you I'll probably live the rest of my life never being invited to one and probably never being at one.
You're not giving sex party vibes?
I'm not giving that. Yeah, I'm always just like, wait, this starts when? 9:30? I'm in bed,
we can't have
dog.
A sex party at noon.
Oh yeah, yeah. People are at work.
Can I
take the day off from work today? I have a dentist appointment.
Matt, where are all those whips?
I got a crazy dentist. But my relationship to scams, I've been scammed.
Oh.
I remember.
I have too. When did you get scammed?
I've been almost scammed very recently. But I remember a particular instance. I was at the gas station.
Yeah, a lot of scams happen there.
I was filling up my tank and filling up. I was putting like $20 in. I was like a broke college student.
So you were moving that needle like...
Yeah, I was like, okay, I got to get a quarter tank. I got to go two places before then I could ride E again. I got to go somewhere.
Wait, I don't want to derail you, but I do have to say, remember when I ran out of gas and you saw me on the road? Matt drove past me on the middle of Sunset Boulevard.
Wait, what are you doing?
I was like, so the gas is on. It was very much like, I know my car, and then I forgot.
But it was also just sort of like, at that time, I would sort of put knowing how much gas is in your car at like the bottom of your list.
Yeah, it was very low priority.
So like, it's either in there or it's not. I got things to do.
So I feel like I never get scammed at the gas station because you like see my car coming in on a tow truck, or I'm never there. They're like, okay, we're not scamming her. Yeah. Her car is literally being towed over here for gas. Is that a red can?
Gets put in by somebody who drove to you to put it in. You get a boutique gas delivery.
AAA gas, okay? Which is not cheap. But that whole red can theory, that shit don't work on every car. Because I tried that. I was like, let me go get a red pail like they do in the movies. And that shit was not going in.
I can guarantee you if I try to do that, I'm bursting into flames afterward. There's no way I'm doing it.
I just come up with three empty Gatorade bottles to the pump.
Like, okay, well, this is, Lacey, this is Mango Extremo. This is not gas. This is kiwi strawberry. What are
you
doing?
Do you think 40 ounces of gas will get me enough? Because I got my
Wait,
my thermos.
Mean ounces? Yeah, you filled up a fucking hydro flask.
a Yeti full of gas. Like, y'all got a funnel. No. But okay, so you're at the gas station where a lot of scams happen, and what happened?
And like, I probably have $40 on me, mm-hmm. period. And I'm using 20 to put in the gas tank. Mm-hmm. I'm also not using a card. I was like, I'm paying in cash.
Smart.
Which at the time, I feel like now, I can't remember the last time I had cash on me. You just don't do it anymore, kind of. They told you not to, I guess, during the pandemic. Like, don't touch money.
Wow. Cash has been full of cocaine and stripper booty hole forever. But, and now they're like, there's a pandemic,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
so
hey,
don't touch money.
Look, Fauci said it, okay? I don't take it from me. It was freaking Fauci.
Oh, and the CDC, which just turned into vibes. There.
Oh, it's all vibes. But I'm at the gas station, and this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, like, you're... headlights, they're pretty dirty, and I could like clean those up for you pretty good. And I was sort of like, oh, you know what? I'm like in a rush, which is like not true, but I'm like, I don't want to talk to
you. You're in a rush to get away from that man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, I'll tell you this, broad daylight as well.
So how could he even tell how dirty your headlights are?
Because they were like, I was driving a Jeep Cherokee Laredo.
You were off-roading like a TV commercial?
They were sort of like foggy, kind of. Like not like dirty, dirty, but like sort of like the glass had fogged up in such a way that like, it was opaque, kind of. Like, it wasn't, like, very clear.
So when you were driving at night, were your headlights giving, like, lo-fi?
Yeah, I was sort of giving, like, It Follows when I was driving. Like, sort of, like, 824 lighting on the...
Yeah, we don't want mood lights on the road, man. Okay, yeah. Maybe homeboy had a point.
And so he's like, let me just show you one. Can I just show you one? I'll clean one up, and if you like it, you can pay me. And I was like, okay, if you're just gonna do one, do it, I guess.
Which was like very 90s.
My big mistake.
Problematic crackhead in a movie. Like,
I would say he was.
Giving Friday.
I can't remember like what kind of man he was, but he was like, he seemed like a normal man. Like, that's why I was sort of like, I guess, willing to go the one step further with
okay.
this guy.
He's like, there's one light. Let me touch on one
Let
light.
Let me do
okay?
one. I was like,
just
okay.
the tip.
Because he was sort of, I think he was giving sort of Billy Mays kind of, where I was sort of like, oh,
okay,
like,
so he might have been ShamWowing.
I thought so. Okay. I thought that I was going to get ShamWowed.
Okay.
And.
Okay, so what happened?
So he cleans one off, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. He's like, okay, it's going to be $60 if I do the other one. I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that.
Okay,
that's
then
crazy.
I'm going to have one good light, but 60.
I was like, okay, no thanks. That's a little too much. And then he was trying to get me down to the price, and he was like, okay, my daughter's in the van over there, and she's sick, and she wants food. And I was like, okay, I know this isn't true, like in my head, but I also know that this man is not going to leave me alone.
Yeah, that's when you got to hop in the car like on some Scooby-Doo shit,
I
man.
I reached into my wallet and gave him $20.
All you had was $40.
I know. And I used 20 of it on gas. I had no money. I went home.
Wow. Wow. See, why you ain't hit him back? Like, this is the only 20 that I got, Mr. Sir.
And
like,
cut to me coming home. Matt, why is one of your headlights spotless? I got to tell everybody. They're like, Matt, you got scammed.
Okay, so he didn't even give you the other headlight
nah.
after you gave him the 20?
He only did the one.
See, that's okay. In the future, guys, when y'all need to get away from people, just make an excuse. Man, if you a guy in your car and be like, oh, you know what? Let me get some more cash. Get in your car, lock the doors, and then just like
that's
really drive good. Away.
Yeah, no, but, I absolutely should have done that.
Because he might have gotten hostile. So you're right to like.
I was like, here's. But also, I was like, I guess he could have taken my whole wallet if he wanted. But it was like, it was during the day. Like, I was, and it was at like a gas station in a big parking lot, like where there's a grocery store and a bunch of cameras and stuff. So it was just sort of like, I felt safe. To give the last money that I had.
Well, your other option, Ms. Scam, is just start hollering.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is that? I think that's like the most jarring thing you can do. Somebody's
underrated.
Like, no, my daughter's sick in the car. She needs a 60 and I already cleaned one.
Go full Kermit. Just start throwing my arms in the air.
Just start flailing and screaming until they go away. Like, what's the response to that? How does anyone humanly respond to someone who just starts shrieking?
Oh, shoot. This guy's going crazy. I better get out of here.
Like, go full Talladega Nights. Hand me over. Hand me Tom Cruise.
You're like, actually, sir, you said you were going to give me that $20, though? Like, no one's going to be, like, following up with this man.
But the 20, hey. Yeah. No, just start screaming and flailing.
But then when I was in Italy recently, these people, they come. I was prepared for this, too. I was told I'd never been in Europe before.
Oh, the Europe girlies are going to rob you. They can tell who the out-of-towners are, and they're coming.
They were so. I was prepped. My girlfriend's dad is English, and they've been to Europe a lot, and I'd never been out of the country before. And so they both prepped me. Hey, there's going to be people. They're going to come up to you. They're going to put a bracelet on your wrist. Don't
yes,
do it.
Yes, I've heard of this one.
And I was like, okay. I get there. First day, some guy in the square, like in front of a church. Hey, big man. I was like, what's up, man?
No.
I start talking to this
Matt,
guy.
Did he scam you because he called you big man?
He almost did. He had the bracelet on my wrist.
Was it height flattery, Matt?
It was, well, and then later on that same day, a different guy.
He said, big man, me? My big ass?
I got called big man and playboy in the same day.
Oh, shit. Okay, they got you. He said, Mr. Sexy. Mr. said, me?
I was walking on cloud nine. I was like, these Europeans.
Then did you get scammed? Because it sounds like they made you feel good.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I was like, hey, they gave me a compliment. What's the worst that can happen? But my girlfriend came over and was like, No, he doesn't want this, and took the bracelet off my wrist and yes. like, gave it back to him. Because we saw it happening to other people, too, and we were just like, oh, wow. And so we started reading about the sort of, like, tourism scams that you can run into. And so I was prepared for some other ones along the way that I didn't participate in.
But it's almost like, you know, when the dare dog was being like, say no to drugs. And we was like, hell no, fuck them drugs. If anybody try to give me drugs, I'm going to stab them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then, you know, somebody offer you some drugs. You're like, y'all look like y'all having fun.
Huh? Yeah, like, oh, you guys are having like the chillest, nicest time.
Let me just have a taste of the drugs.
Yeah,
just a little.
Oh, wait, this is just going to like make me want to like, I don't know.
Dance
or like laugh a lot with my friends.
Right. What is this? One weed, please.
Yeah. Wait, I can go to sleep right now. Give me that.
And the dare lion was just like, fuck, man. Like, yeah. I prepared y'all for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the moment, sometimes things are different, especially when someone's in your physical space.
They got to change that whole program to be like, hey, you know which ones we're talking about.
Right. Like, come on. Like, let's be for real. Like, weed is a gateway. Come on now. Yeah. It ain't gateway to nothing.
Do what you're going to do, but you know the ones we're saying are
bad,
right?
Crack.
Yeah.
Come on. Has that ever even sounded good? Like, hey, y'all come over. We got so much crack. Like, yeah. And then, you know, if you be like, oh, we got bottles, we'll be like, oh, yeah, well, let's pop them. But, you know, oh, yeah, y'all come over. We got all the needles. No, that doesn't sound as good.
If you can find it in a gutter, like a paraphernalia, like no one's dropping their, like, their one hitter or like their, like,
their
bong
weed.
In a, like, leaving that discarded somewhere. If you've seen this on the street somewhere, you don't want to
do
that.
Yeah, that's the ones you don't want to try. Because, like, why are people doing them in the streets and not at home?
The urgency, too. You know, but I've seen Nas canisters in the streets, so maybe that's not a fair judgment.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But, yeah, so at least you're prepared for the European scams. And I'm glad that you had an advocate there who could help you.
Yes,
if not, the screaming technique, y'all, I'm telling you, try it, write it.
I think I want to hear about people doing this. I want to hear about people being like, and I just started screaming.
Yes, I think it's a tactic that works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements, and we'll be right back with What's Hot in Fraud. Scams! I love fashion, okay? But we all know buying the latest and the greatest constantly is a little bit of a scam to the planet, which is why I love Nuuly. It's a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Sometimes you put something on the gram and you could be like, oh, well, it's dead now. Well, with Nuuly, you can keep having fresh fits. And you're helping the planet. Try out trending styles, colors, silhouettes, and then you can send it back for something new. Okay? Come on, Nuuly. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles for more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. I know that's right. It's fast, free shipping and returns with professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy whatever you love, which I love that because sometimes I put on a piece and I'm like, it's mine now. So you can buy it from Nuuly. I love using Nuuly because the free shipping, it's really quick, and the pieces are really nice quality. Also, I love that the orders, like when I got mine, it was shipped in a recyclable, reusable tote. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code GODDESS20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code GODDESS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code GODDESS20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Cut! And
we are back, and it's time for What's Hot in Fraud. This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams on the street, or more often than not these days, we get a letter from you guys. It's always snitch on your friends and family at scamgotuspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired, because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. So I just need a fake name for this person, Matt. We don't care about gender on the show. It can be anything.
Oh, how about Sandy?
Sandy. Oh, I think that's a perfect name for this person. So Sandy says that this is their grocery store scam.
Ooh.
So one of the big grocery chains loves to do pilot programs at my local store, probably because it's a newer location in a wealthy white area. Damn. And I guess they trust white people when no one should? Question mark. That's what Sandy said.
Uh-oh.
So this new program says that they created was called Scan Bag Go. You take a little handheld scanner from a kiosk by the door and scan items before putting them straight into your bag. At the end of your shopping excursion, you would scan a barcode at self-checkout where it would populate a list of items you scanned. Then you'd pay and leave. Hence, Scan Bag Go.
Yeah.
So I imagine this is going to turn into Scam Bag Go real fast.
Yeah, or Bag Go.
They're gonna miss a step.
Yeah.
The scanner ain't gonna have. Oh, you got a scan for you, bad go.
Oh, I didn't read that. The sign was obscured.
Yeah, I just read bad go.
Yeah.
So I put everything in my bag and I left.
Yeah.
Like y'all had warranted.
Yeah.
Also, I love that grocery stores continue to try to scam us as consumers by making us employees when we come to the motherfucking grocery store.
Like, hey, I know you're shopping here, but you work here now.
What a few places.
Hey, you want a job?
I'm like, no, I don't. Well, guess what? You have one, bitch.
Yeah.
You want these? You want this ham or not?
And it's also like they're trying this out in a white, like at a white store.
Assuming that white people don't steal when
they're
going to
be the number one doing it. They're going to be the number one people doing this. You'll never catch a person of color doing it because
like,
guess what?
White people were stealing people. White people steal ideas. White people, that's a cornerstone of their culture. Honestly, just like how, you know, indigenous people don't want people wearing their garb, you know, at Halloween. Well, you know, we also should not be robbers because that's white culture.
Yeah. We actually shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. And we, you know, people say white people don't have culture. It is actually stealing.
Yeah, it's them. They have, what do you call museums? That's where they put all their loot.
Yeah, yeah.
They like, look at all this shit that we stole.
But like, I also just feel like I worked at a grocery store, and loss prevention, let me tell you something, is never looking at white people. They're never doing it. So they can get away with it scot-free. They don't need this program.
Right, which is wild. They could really go in and just bag and go. Like, they're like, la, la, la. They're doing that at every
store.
Like,
what I'm saying is, you got to try this in a different neighborhood. And then see, the program will be a success.
If you're white, consider more theft. I mean, you might as well use your privilege.
Yeah, I feel like
maybe donate some to a food bank, you know, really even it out in the world.
Yeah, we should really be encouraging white people to, like, really be stepping
out
and doing their
privilege. They got white theft lore. What is Robin Hood? That's lore.
It's lore. Yeah, you're right. They have Robin Hood. That fox was white. We know it.
So, obviously, they're not looking at the Caucasian girlies when they're coming into the store.
No.
So, when this program was going on, I was broke as shit. I could barely afford to exist. Working at a nonprofit is also a scam. Yes, I know that, Sandy. So, Sandy says, I walk to the grocery store, so I use a hand cart with wheels to carry my groceries back home. I regularly use self-checkout because baggers don't know how to pack my bag correctly without giving me a bajillion extra. Okay, listen, Sandy go to the grocery store. She said, I have particular ways.
I have a particular set of skills.
Yes, she said the eggs on the bottom and the bread on top of the eggs and stop fucking with me.
And eggs on the bottom, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, you think there's a can going in the bag on top of the eggs?
You
think
playing.
Again, bitch.
I'll beat your ass. Sandy just constantly fighting at the checkout.
Oh, that was a
with
test. You wanted to put that there? Guess what? I was speaking to your manager, babe.
You put my cold milk next to my hot rotisserie chicken?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I bet you this ice cream's going by the rotisserie chicken. I didn't have a new one. That's like the hottest thing you can get there.
It is like the hottest thing you can get in a grocery store. What else is coming out smoking hot at a grocery
Those
store?
Those tenders aren't.
Nah,
the
hell
corn?
No. Oh, no. Mm-mm, never that.
No.
So I like the Scan Bag Go program because I could pack my bag once I had shopped and I didn't have to take ages at the self-checkout. So I figured out since no one had checked you if you scanned everything in your bag, I could just scan a few items and then put them in my hand cart and ignore the rest.
Yeah.
On average, I would skip roughly 50 to 60% of my groceries.
That's not some.
That's not
That's
some.
That's most.
That's most. Sandy, the math is not mathing.
I just do some. It's almost all of it.
I just do a little bit, just like whatever I could carry, you know, just a little taste. That's all. Sandy, I love you. I love the presentation of this. You're a scammer, even how you wrote this. Sandy said, then she said sometimes 75%.
okay, that's a, where I'm from, that's a B minus. That's almost all of it.
And also Sandy, okay, but Sandy says that always the expensive items and I'd walk out without anyone stopping me. So if you can make your volume stuff the stuff you pay for and then the expensive
the
stuff
loss
be
leaders
small,
can get taken. Yeah, the rotisserie chicken not getting scanned.
Because it's like, did y'all see Sandy walked out of here? She paid $8.99 and she had a full cart.
I think I saw a turkey in there, a whole turkey.
I know a turkey on its own is more than $8.99.
Steep discount.
Yeah, I mean, let me just look. Sandy was white, so we will be asking.
Okay.
No questions.
Yeah, no. Hey.
And
I'm minding my business.
Listen, truly, didn't see a damn thing. Didn't see a thing. So some expensive items like protein powder have a metallic barcode sticker to trigger an alarm. To get around this, I'd pretend I was really considering the items while I peeled off the barcode and stuck it to the shelf.
So this is going a step further than not scanning it.
Yes.
This was premeditated theft. Okay, I'm going to steal this.
We're going to appropriate this because, Sandy, you are to some shit. Also, I love that she was standing in the store like, metabolic way, creatine, as she slowly peels off the label. She's like, let me read more because she's pulling out her glasses.
Yeah, getting her readers out.
Getting her readers out. Yeah, you know Sandy got some fold-up-upable readers. She pulling out like,
hold on, wait, what is in this?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And they're like, Sandy really cares about her health. She be reading all the labels.
Yeah.
She feels them. So they discontinued the program after a little over a year, probably because people were stealing so much. And a little Sandy, I think you killed this
program. You ended
program.
The program.
I think it was you, because you just told us that you were stealing 75% of what you...
75%? Might as well... It's so much. What stopped you from going to 80?
Truly. Sandy, at this point, why don't you just start? You know, some of the shelves got wheels. Just roll the whole motherfucking shelf out, bitch.
Well, I guess the program's discontinued. I was going to say, one last score. Go for 100%.
Right?
I think you can do it. If you can do 75%, you can do all of it.
Sandy, I know that you just got the vibe of like an elegant white lady. Like you said, you work at
a nonprofit. It's Winona
Ryder. Oh, it's Winona.
And she did nothing wrong, by the way.
No, she didn't. She was having fun. And Winona has been working since she was a child. She deserves to steal from high-end stores. Y'all should give Winona that stuff.
They made her the face of the campaign after that.
And I'm so sad for Winona because that whole thing happened during a tabloid time where people were so bored that like it was a story for months and months and months.
Yes.
If Winona went and hit up Saks right now and rolled out with a cart of Louboutins, nobody would care. The news cycle
Winona,
is so fast.
If you're listening,
Winona, get back in the game.
You can do it right now.
Get back in the game.
You can
do it. No, get out of these streets.
No.
Okay, start saying no to purchasing again.
And say yes, yes.
Right, and say yes, yes. We'll support you. I'll be at the march. I'll make signs.
I can't pay your bail because I bet you would be really expensive for a second offense, but I will contribute to the GoFundMe.
Yes, I will contribute to the person who needs it the least.
Yeah, a rich white lady.
But we will give it to you just for the thrill.
Well, put me in the dock.
So they discontinued the program. Yeah, after you discontinued it, Sandy. But I love that for you. Probably because people were stealing so much. Probably. In a little over a year, I think I stole close to $4,000 worth of groceries, including kitchen gadgets, a 25-piece Rubbermaid set, and a new toaster.
This has gone.
She got more. A toaster?
This is a misdemeanor offense.
She said, I got 6 Nutribullets.
A 25-piece Rubbermaid.
Listen, people, first of all, Tupperware should be free the way we all steal it and use it. It's just like a communicable resource. It's just like a road, you know? We all take it from other people and we all give it away and never see it again.
The only place doing this, Thai restaurants. They're giving you pretty solid, durable.
They know,
the
vibes.
They know. They're like, hey, you're going to use this again?
Yeah.
Just wash it.
Just wash it, babe.
Yeah,
just
don't put it in the dishwasher.
Okay, because then it's going to get that color stain on it.
It's going to shrink a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not going to quite seal. I'm not going to keep it as fresh, but if you want to use this a couple
just
more times.
Just hand wash it. We got you, boy, at the Thai spot.
Your girlfriend's going to throw it away and you're not going to notice. But,
exactly. That's where I get all my rubber made the Thai food place. So now the grocery store has cameras above the self-checkout that look at your bag to see if you're stealing. A hater move if I've ever seen one. Can I just say, Sandy, I ain't never seen anybody case a motherfucking grocery store like you. You done found out about the barcode before you walk out the door. You know they done put in new cameras.
Is this one of the characters from Good Girls?
It's giving Good Girls. Like, I feel like Sandy gonna be like, update. I robbed the grocery store.
Yeah. Wait, is this Emily the Criminal writing?
Literally. So it says grocery stores have a built-in budget for theft, and this is a megacorp, so I'd absolutely zero guilt doing it. And frankly, I'd do it again. Pay your employees more and stop putting baby formula behind lock and key. Fuck the man and stay scheming.
Okay. Now, she made absolute points.
Now,
that's interesting.
Now, one of the points not being to stop putting the baby formula behind lock and key, because you would go steal it.
Yeah. And not because you have a baby, you want it.
Yeah, right. Now she's
a
baby.
I want to taste it. I've had everything else in the store. I'm going to mix some of this up.
She's just stealing hot chicken items for fun. It's supermarket sweep at this point. She's like, let me get the
Sandy
dog
wants
food.
Her baba.
Right. I don't even got a dog, but I just want to take the most expensive shit y'all got. For high-end cheeses. Like, I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I want that wheel of brie back there.
But I will say, formula shouldn't be under lock and key.
No,
if people
not.
Need to steal formula, let them steal it. They're stealing it for an unemployed baby. Like,
yes.
What the fuck?
It's the most classist shit ever.
Ever.
And like, it's the same thing that, like, I mean, all that shit's under lock and key, like, even like condoms and stuff.
Or you'll go to like stores in a white neighborhood and everything will be open and free and white except for black hair care products.
Yeah.
You can't fucking tell us that ain't no fucking racism. They was like, edge control, they would put that behind, you know, the Negroes will be stealing.
Drive up in Ojai and you tell me what's behind the glass. Nothing.
Right. But if a bitch wants some Clairol, guess what? It's right there for the taking. A mess. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements and we'll be back with my favorite segment of the show, Historic Hood Wings.
Robbery!
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Louis Scarcella was the greatest homicide detective of his generation.
I am the protector of these people. I am the guardian that they need.
Derek Hamilton was the best jailhouse lawyer of his.
And the lawyer was my girlfriend. It was all I had.
What happens when a group of convicted felons take on the cop who put them away?
We gotta attack Scarcella. Come and get me.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden starting March 19th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And fraud!
And we're back, and it's time for Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Matt with a famous con caper group of criminals. Well, maybe we like them. Maybe we hate them. We'll see along the way. But y'all know that this show is not a scam, so we are always going to give props. In our footnotes, you can click the links to any research that Kaylin Brandt, our amazing researcher, pulls up. But also, we love to shout out when a good bit comes from one place. When, you know, I don't know. A little bit, like 75% comes from one place.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sandy.
Also, by the way, I feel like we were roasting Sandy pretty hard.
We love you, Sandy.
We love you, Sandy.
No, Sandy, we're in on it.
But you know what you did.
You know what you did, and we love what you did. So much of this research comes from the story, Ava Kaufman's New Yorker investigation, which was titled How Hospice Became a For-Profit Hustle. And obviously, like, hospice is, we're talking about people getting end-of-life care.
Yes.
So this is a sensitive subject. But when we get into this, y'all, what this lady was doing, you'll see how hilarious this is.
We're going to laugh.
We are going to laugh. We are going to laugh in the face of death, which is what we do every day living in America.
Thank you very much. It's a joke to be alive.
Truly. I laugh. I'm like, wow, I made it another day. Woo, they tried. As Miley Cyrus once said, they tried to kill your favorite bitch, okay?
Oh,
and they try
God.
Every day. So since the opening of the first American hospice facility in Connecticut in 1974, hospice care has grown from a series of charities to a $22 billion industry funded almost entirely by taxpayer money. But with such massive profits has come massive fraud, duh, with only a handful of whistleblowers that stand against it. Because you're scamming the government, and the government is a scam.
Yeah, and I feel like societally, the last people that people care about are like old people, unfortunately.
Or people who are in their last days being comfortable. I just feel like it's hard to get people ramped up to be like, they over there doing fraud to
them
people.
They doing?
Like, it's like, nobody's going to.
Like, okay, well,
we're not walking. That's like walking into St. Jude's and being like, move out of the way, kids. We got fraud to detect. It's like that with the, you know.
They're not doing it. Yeah.
Whatever they're doing over there, as long as people being taken care of, weird. It's none of my business.
Take care only. That's all I want to hear about. Drake style.
So Sarah Care is what we're talking about today. So Marsha Farmer entered the hospice care business in 2002 as a community educator, in parentheses, who taught and marketed to potential patients about the benefits of end-of-life care. Within a year, she became an executive director of her local office of hospice in South Monroeville, Alabama. However, what might have become as a virtuous calling changed in 2004. Wow, only 2 years.
She said, but I'm a villain. She saw that she was leaving money on the table probably.
She said, wait a damn minute.
I can have this.
Right. Well, I'm leaving all this old money over here just because we don't need it. So when Hospice South was bought by Beverly Enterprises, Beverly Enterprises don't sound like a place that's doing anything right for the world.
That's like a fake. That's like, I could have made that up.
Right.
It's not real.
When Rich Money Bags acquired Hospice South, yeah, we know what's about to happen. Yeah, Beverly Enterprises. That don't sound godly at all.
Shell corporation ass.
Right. Oh, venture capitalist ass, bitch ass. We know what's happening. So the second largest nursing home chain in the country, and soon after resold it to a private equity firm. Wow, we were right on it. Not the PE.
Edit out my shocked noise.
Take it back. So it was rebranded as Sarah Care. Almost immediately after the takeover, Marsha's bosses increased the goals for the number of new patients that they had to sign up. Because, of course, they're like, we got to get in the black. Okay, we need to get the six in here.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not seeing enough six. These are empty beds. Why is no one coding right now?
A PowerPoint.
Get the money up.
Yeah, we need more sick people here.
Yeah. So important note. Normally, eligible hospice patients qualify by being certified by two doctors that they have less than 6 months to live and agree to forego curative care. So Medicare reimbursed them not for the amount of care expended, but per patient. So basically they're saying, like, you have to have two notes that say that you are approaching the end of life, and then they will, and that you're no longer pursuing like medical treatment, and then they'll just pay you out.
Man, two notes?
Yeah, not just one. You gotta go to two doctors.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
because Medicare is not trying to give out the coins.
No, but
so they're going to force you to get a second opinion.
Yeah.
So like, if you ever thought you needed a second opinion, Medicare is telling you right now, like, go to one. I get second opinions.
I don't want to hear it if you only got one.
Which is a mess. I could be like, this ain't enough.
Oh, you're dying? Talk to somebody else.
Yeah, are you sure? It's not giving. It's not giving. Casket. So go ask. It's like Medicare is so disgusting. So that meant that an increased number of patients didn't massively affect their overhead, as most hospice care took place at home between visiting nurses and unpaid family. Mm-hmm. So employees who met quotas received cash bonuses and perks such as popcorn machines and massage chairs. What? Imagine getting a popcorn machine.
I tell you who needs both those things.
Sandy?
These fucking sick people.
Why are you not getting the massage chairs and the popcorn machines?
Yeah,
that's what we should be going to.
A little treat.
Look, at some point, we all going to have to meet, you know.
Not me.
Sky Daddy.
Yeah.
Not me.
Can't get me.
Can't get me.
Find out. See what happens. You think I'm going to die? Nice try.
So those, but you know, it's like we want to do it in a comfortable way or whatever.
Yes,
if we're lucky enough
with
to,
dignity
and
like respect and absolutely
and care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Marsha remembers feeling so frustrated and pressured about meeting numbers that she calculated how many people in her region might be expected to die that year. Because what happened was, if you didn't meet the quotas, you were fired.
Yeah.
So you were terminated if you didn't find the terminally ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing like a, hey, so like, how are your knees?
So now she's starting to look at the CDC numbers and she's like, okay, how many, where are they dying
the
most?
Yeah, can I get a copy of the census? I want to see how many people over the age 65 live in my area.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So not only were there not enough people dying in her territory, they weren't dying fast enough.
Does she become like an eco-terrorist or something? She's like, I'm putting stuff in the water to like...
Right. Sandy's just pulling up with a dump truck of just all the chemicals, all the Chinese lead paint.
Let's beat this shit up.
Like, we got fluoride. We put straight lead in the water. Okay? No, we got to get these girls dead. What is this people live in? I saw people at the park yesterday looking like healthy as fuck. This is fucked up.
Hey, Gladys, I got you a special water.
Why does she keep dropping off special water? And it tastes like very rat poison-y.
I saw her
shaking it in the car. She said it was just Dasani flavor, but I was like,
I sneeze blood and only taste metal, so I don't know what's going on.
But Dasani do taste like rat poison, so I'm a drinky.
So actually, she didn't have to even do anything. She just gave him Dasani.
That was her plan.
Unless they're a sponsor.
Dasani is delicious, y'all. Y'all really should put it in your mouth.
Do you notice how it gets colder than the other water?
Oh, yeah. and just so much flavor.
Yeah.
I had never tasted Earth before, like when you taste Dasani.
I had one sip of Dasani in the desert, and it's all I needed.
For a month. Extra hydration. So... We love you, Coca-Cola. So if a patient might not actually die within the 6-month window, Medicare can demand a repayment from facilities where the average patient stays is longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
So now you have this weird ass thing with Medicare where they're calling like, hey, y'all, we just want to check on Miss Gladys because we heard she was alive. Somebody got a birthday card and we was like, how's she sending that from the upper room?
You said you were dying. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I see his bed's still full.
What are you doing here on Earth?
Yeah.
You told us she was leaving.
Hey, I saw that hole over there is fucking empty.
Hello, it's Les from Cigna. Yeah, you picked up. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's essentially the problem.
I'm calling to say, why the fuck did you answer?
What the fuck? Yo, our healthcare system is fucked.
It's so bad.
So bad. So, recruiting. Marsha found her own solution. Was it murdering people? And what is your own solution to getting more dead people? So, and along with her colleagues, began recruiting patients regardless of whether they were near death or not.
Oh.
In the Deep South, they often targeted impoverished communities with low rates of education. Wow. So now you're coming for people who likely, you know, don't have money, don't have a lot of options, perhaps are people of color.
Yes.
Like, we know what you're doing. So Marsha would cruise around looking for rundown homes with wheelchair ramps or keep a church prayer list around to look for families with ill members.
No.
Oh my God, Marsha, not the sick and shut in list. Marsha was going to church services, and this, I'm Baptist, so we have the sick and shut in list where you pray for these people, or you visit their homes, or you bring them food. She going to every church, like, let me get a program.
Yeah.
Is this up to date?
Yeah.
Is this all the sicks and the shut ins?
You're not doing a repeat of last week's, are you?
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, because look, because a few of the people who on this list was on here last week, and it just seemed like I don't know how sick or shut in they are.
You got a Google Doc or like a Google Sheet or something? Here's my business card.
Who does the submissions? Could I get copied on the shut in list?
Yeah.
Let me just get in with the announcements. Praise him. I will take a Martin Luther King fan.
I'll buy an ad on the thing or whatever.
Yes.
But
thank you so much.
Here's a hard cake I brought for the
hard cake.
Yeah.
A little pound cake from the grocery store that I definitely did not steal. Okay, I scanned it and left. So she'd show up to especially rundown houses and knock on the door in scrubs, despite not having any medical background. Now she's wearing costumes. As she says, in quotes, I would automatically be seen as help. You're looking for uneducated people, if you will, because you're able to provide something to them and meet a need. So she's looking for the desperation meter we talk about on here, people who really need this kind of stuff. Because ain't nobody like, if somebody showed up in my house in some damn scrubs looking like a fake ass Grey's Anatomy extra, talk about some, you want to go to hospice? I'd be like, bitch, if you don't get off my damn doorstep.
Not today.
Right.
You're not going to get me. What are you even doing here, babe?
Babe, I'm full of life.
Yeah, don't you see?
God.
I can do a backflip right now.
I can do a flip. This is we don't have good measurements for what full of life means, which because, you know.
Who could say?
Who could say? Who could say?
On their last day, could do the most magnificent flip you've ever seen.
And it happened.
We don't know.
So,
we don't have the language for it.
But we're, you know, each day is a blessing. So we're trying to keep it light, y'all, because this is fun, but also sad. So, and then she would describe comparatively luxurious government benefits before finishing her pitch to make them seem like it was like a quick decision.
Yeah.
So she's describing this like, hey, do you want free room and board and games and entertainment and a chef that cooks for you 24/7 and television and the best beds and around the care medical supervision and
singles too. There's singles there.
Drugs.
What else? Yeah.
All the drugs.
Yeah, they're giving them the straight out of high school go army treatment, but for dying.
And at the end, it's like, okay, but it's a hospice center, and you got 5 minutes to sign up right now. I'm gonna have to get in my car and drive away. Yeah. So what do you say?
Hey, so unless you want your life to be miserable, you better sign this paper.
Right, because we're going to see your neighbor next door, and we know your neighbor going to take this deal, so we only got one bed.
No.
So do you want it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So once Marsha had them on the hook, she'd send a nurse out to assess whether the potential patient had any symptoms that could look like a terminal illness. She'd often use the reputation of the Black Belt region of the Deep South that has some of the highest rates of heart disease, diabetes, and emphysema in the country. So she was going after the girls like, I mean, she got the sugar, so... You know, even though people live with diabetes every single day, but you know, she's targeting things that she can kind of like zhuzh up a little bit.
Oh, like this could be something.
Like, did y'all notice Martha came to my house and now all my Trulicity is gone?
Yeah.
What happened to it? No, I think she stole it. And then she had somebody come over and do the prick on me to check my levels.
But then she came and tried to do it herself? I don't know what's going on. I got pricked twice in one day.
Yeah, and then she said that she found all of my insulin in her purse and gave it back to me after I got pricked. I don't know what happened. She's bad. So in order to get the necessary doctor approval, some hospice firms would even bribe doctors to bring them new patients by offering all-expense-paid trips to Las Vegas nightclubs, complete with bottle service and private security detail.
This is good.
I mean, why not just give them money? I feel like money is the bribe that I like, but they were like, do you want to live like a rock star millionaire? Like, we'll fly you out private to Vegas.
I can have a vodka Red Bull in my hand in 2 hours?
And just the loudest music you've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ill. That's where I want to be.
Well, these are the doctors.
The doctors. Yes. Okay. Oh, well.
So they're like.
Don't even get me fucking started.
Right. So they're like, we'll treat you like you want to live a day in the life of Tyga.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can be a cool doctor.
Yeah. The coolest of doctors. Yeah. So they're flying them out to Vegas and, you know, letting them ball out and live the celebrity lifestyle. In the case of the doctor politicians, such as Dr. Francisco Pena, former mayor of Rio Bravo, Texas, they could receive actual kickbacks. Yeah. Look at this man. It's giving. I take bribes.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a more bribable face and neck.
No.
That neck moves and says yes to bribes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's that fucking little bird taking a drink out of the desk.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. That neck been working hard saying yes to bribes his whole life.
And he looks like, we're looking at a picture, so that's why we're saying this. He looks like he's about to say no.
But he goes.
But then
say
he's
yes.
Gonna be like, just kidding, yes.
He go wink though. Yeah. He's like, look, I work in politics. I can't just move my neck.
Yeah. The only thing he's saying no to is that he doesn't not do that. He's like, I do it.
And look at him holding his glasses like he about to say something smart. Yeah, that's a criminal right there.
If it pleases the court, he says.
Love that for him. And he got his white coat behind him like, don't forget. Yeah. Don't let these scrubs fool you. I am Dr. Ring. I'm over the girls.
He like
okay?
walks out with it over his shoulder. He's kind of like a cool doctor.
Right.
Like,
this is a city council meeting. Why are you wearing full scrubs and a stethoscope? Saying stat in between the motions. So other firms would tempt addicts with the prospect of free painkillers, trick people into believing the program was free home health care, or even steal personal information to enroll patients without their knowledge.
Ghoul behavior. If I've ever heard it, that's
this
so
sick
fucked.
Ass shit. Can you imagine somebody comes over saying they're doing the census, and then all of a sudden, somebody just randomly showing up to your house every week?
But not even that, just being like, hey, like, look, I noticed that you have like some sort of like, you know, addiction.
So I
how about
to
I help you with
that.
This and give
I
it
mean,
to
help.
You? Yeah,
when I say exploit. That's crazy. I mean,
yeah.
Help.
Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that I was doing something untoward.
No, we're gonna exploit the addiction by helping you with it.
Yeah.
That's what we exploit.
No, and you know that's like a vulnerable class as well. That's
yes,
yeah,
extremely
that's terrible,
vulnerable,
yeah.
And it's a disease. Yeah. So it's just not cool to take advantage of people whether they have diseases or not, but especially if they're in a vulnerable position. So this is just Marsha. You are real. You are a corporate criminal.
But maybe she turns it around. We don't know.
she has a hero arc about it. So because the stipulation of the hospice care is that patients do not receive curative care, patients who were signed up for hospice against their knowledge could suddenly be denied life-saving procedures and medications. So this is really fucked up because, like, if you need to call the ambulance, they're like, hello, for where? Oh, no, we can't pick you up.
That's not even a thing.
Yeah, you on our blackout list. We can't drive over there. Like, what? And you don't even know.
No, because, like, you think if this person's coming up to you and you're being, and they're like, you think you're taking that face value that what they're saying is true. And then you're like, okay, like, well, this will be good. This is going to, in the event that I have some sort of issue, I'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
And then
and it's
like
the exact opposite.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Marsha,
so disgusting.
You got to go to jail, but also we got to throw rocks at you in the town square, like on your way there. Like we need to have a little shame bill and just the tiniest rocks that we all should be able to throw at you.
One big one. Just
one big one, but the rest just so small and annoying.
Big is like in the eye of the beholder, too. Like, who actually knows how big the
rock is? How big is big? 50%? 75%?
Yeah, who knows?
A mountain? That's a big rock. We throw a mountain at you?
That's kind of the thing people don't really say about mountains. Like, and I think it's good that we're getting this out there now. That's actually a rock.
It's a big-ass rock, and we should be afraid of that rock, because why is it so big?
And how did it get there?
How many other rocks did it destroy? How did pebbles become pebbles? This is deeper than we thought. This is my new, y'all can read about this in my book. So there's a lot of info here, so we're going to keep moving.
I'm printing it myself, and you can buy it
available
out of my
FedEx.
Trunk. Yeah.
So the second part of the problem was that once they had them, they also, and this the patients, once they had tricked them, they also had to get rid of them if they weren't dying quickly enough, which was common for many ineligible patients because they're not dying. So one tactic that AseraCare used was simply to discharge patients with overly long stays from hospice, often losing any sort of medication, aids, and care that they had. So one day you just wake up and they're rolling you out the door.
And you're sick.
And you're sick.
And you're like, hey, they're like, hey, you're sick.
Ooh, yeah.
That's so gross.
It's so disgusting. So one tactic AseraCare used was simply to discharge patients over the long stays. In 2007, 70% of Marsha's patients left hospice alive. Others turned to much worse. And there's at least one example of a hospice owner instructing a staff to, oh no, overdose their overstaying patients. So now we're doing murder. Okay. That's... And I'm sorry, we'll put a content warning at the top of this because I didn't know that this witch was going to be doing murder when
story. This has turned from...
I knew, I had a feeling it was going to get murdery because she's like, they're not dying fast enough. And then like, what?
Because at first I was sort of like, is this just like, I care a lot?
Yeah. Which was, you know, was bad.
Which was bad.
But yeah, no, we're going beyond that. She said, hold my beer. So the owner was sentenced to more than 13 years in prison for fraud, and in a plea deal that made no allegations about patient's death, despite texting a nurse about one patient saying, in quotes, he better not make it tomorrow or I will blame you. How do you not go 13 years? They gave Turtleneck Lizzie, and she did harm people when she wasn't actually giving them real blood results, but she wasn't actively murdering anyone.
No.
And like, she got 11. 13 years?
Only two more.
You get
a little more. Maybe double it.
I just feel like you shouldn't see the sun again. Like, your hospice is now jail. No. And I don't like the carceral system, but I'm sorry. Like, you need to stay in there.
You're going to the jail.
Because your moral compass
is good.
Yeah, we don't need you out here on the streets because your brain is dangerous.
It's like, that is murder. Like, you're sort of like, hey, like, it's not murder. It's manslaughter, because you're sort of telling somebody to do something on your
behalf. No, it feels premeditated.
Yeah, like, hey.
Yeah, that's a murder. It's a premeditated murder. And
you're
also, we know that you must have done this a lot, because if you get to the point where you're so casual about murder that you're sending text messages about it, then you've been doing so many murders that it's not even a big deal to you anymore.
Yeah, it's sort of...
Could you imagine texting somebody, hey, make sure you do that murder tomorrow by 6? What? On text?
It's sort of, you know...
I feel like it's a phone call, dark alley.
Like Sandy taking just a little bit to then going full 75%.
To going full appliances.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is human life, so this is just disgusting. So I'm going to get through this, because we tried to keep it light over here. So for Marsha, both the pressure and the lengths that she and her colleagues went in order to maintain proper numbers of dying patients wore on her. Okay, finally, dummy. And she began to question the work that she did. Oh, wow, you begin to question it now? Like, it's a little late, sis.
Hey, I sent a text the other day and I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah, it's a little skeevy.
Yeah.
So her coworker, Don Richardson, was also, and she didn't send the text, that was someone else, but still. Don Richardson was also a mother with a family, but felt similarly. And in 2009, the pair discovered a way out. So the way out, the two other nurses at another Southern hospice company had accused their employer, Southern Care, of stealing taxpayer dollars by enrolling ineligible patients in hospice. The company admitted to no wrongdoing, but settled with the Justice Department for nearly $25 million. The two nurses, being whistleblowers, received $4.9 million of that sum. Okay, what I'm not hearing is that the people who were tricked into being hospice were paid, and why is the government getting $25 million? Like, give that to the people that were harmed.
There should have been some damages.
Yeah, this
given,
is still I hope there's a late night commercial happening where, you know, somebody like, if your loved one was tricked into,
we gotta get Saul Goodman on this thing.
Yeah, Saul, where you at? They too contacted James Berger, a lawyer who had represented one of the Southern Care nurses. So in March of 2009, he helped them file a whistleblower complaint against AseraCare and its parent company, accusing the company of Medicare fraud. For the following 2 years, Don and Marsha were kept anonymous, and the investigation continued to work at AseraCare while passing Berger documents and conducting their own investigations into ineligible patients. Their evidence... Now, this is giving, like, the police. We investigated ourselves, and we found we did nothing wrong. Because how the fuck... You know what they doing. You started it.
Yeah, that's... I mean...
You don't get to be a hero here. Like, I hope that you still have to do time, because it's giving, like, anonymity, and, like, you started this shit, Marsha.
Actually, I know I was doing this, but... I didn't know what I was doing. I'm just a baby.
Right. Your own ambition. I'm just a little baby, y'all. A little murderer baby. No. So their evidence supported the claims they and others had made, including lack of focus on patient care and little discussion of eligibility at regular patient certification meetings. So beyond not even, you know, enrolling the right people, they're not giving them the proper care. Now, that really pisses me off, because at least if you're going to trick people into going to hospice, it should at least be nice. You get in your bag.
Like, hey, well, this will be a trick, but also it'll be the worst thing they've ever done.
At least if it's going to be a trick, let it be a treat.
Because, like, those situations, too, I know that a lot of times the goal in hospice care is to make sure that people are comfortable and, like, stuff like that. But I feel like more often than not, I hear that people, like, didn't enjoy that experience. But also because it's just hard on everybody.
Exactly. Which is fucked up.
Yeah.
So clinical staff were also found to be undertrained with a high potential for care delivery failures. So now they're just also hiring anybody that they can in this bitch. Like, you get to your interview.
Like,
right. You get it. It's like Craigslist. Like,
your car got how many doors?
Great all right. hours. All you need is scrubs. Apply. And by apply, we mean show up and you have the job. Can you be present? Like, those are the requirements.
Yeah. Can you just be here?
Yeah.
Can you get here? You can start today.
Right. You any bus lines close to where we at, or you got a car? Like, then
I'll
pull up to this job that needs a lot of skills. I'll come get you. We got a shuttle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just pull up. We got scrubs, actually. Don't even worry about that. So in 2011, Marsha was found out and put on paid leave before leaving the company.
Paid leave?
This woman, everything is coming up roses right now. But by that point, she and her team had amassed enough evidence that the Justice Department had conducted their own investigation into the complaint. The Justice Department proceeded to seek $200 million in fines and damages, and most expected AseraCare to settle, as fighting it could mean bankruptcy. But in 2014, AseraCare created history by fighting the complaint. Now, this is just wild to me because, again, the Justice Department, where are y'all putting $200 million? Because it doesn't sound like it's going to go back to the people.
No.
And also, like, Sarah was like, bump that. We fighting because Marsha bitch ass the one who started this shit. She told us to do it. We had no idea Marsha was recruiting people and being evil.
I think I left my phone in the other room real quick. Let me just go get that.
Hold
real quick.
On, real quick. I'll be back. AseraCare just started screaming. The Justice Department was like, we're still in my... I don't know. They just screaming on the phone, y'all.
It might work.
So the United States versus AseraCare, a trial began August 10th, 2015 in Birmingham, Alabama, and marked one of the most bizarre yet notable trials in the history of hospice care. From the start, prior to the beginning of the trial, the firm handling AseraCare's defense had just hired the judge's son as a summer associate. That's above board. He's like, do you want to intern, Mr. Judge's son? No, I mean, we think you're the most qualified as the judge's son. I got to stop saying judge's son. Just work over here.
Can't wear your dad's robe to work,
don't
dude.
Wear,
what are you
okay.
doing?
Yeah. And like,
everyone's going to know.
Yeah, we're going to call you not judge's son when you come here, okay?
What are we going to do? Your name is Judge.
Your name is Judge's son. Damn it. Why would she name a son Judge's son? So almost immediately, Judge Karen Bowdry showed unprecedented favoritism towards the AseraCare defense team. Dang, Karen. Karen, how you going to Karen this hard? How you going to live up to the name,
I
sis?
I didn't want to say it.
Oh, she was like, and also for an internship, you a whole Judge Karen. You can't nepo your kid somewhere else. You got to nepo him here.
And you couldn't go outside for like a little bit?
Yeah.
Just get a little sun?
Look, you
What's
know, Karen.
On here?
Karen ain't seen
this is the
no
whitest
sun.
Person I've ever seen.
Karen literally sleeps in a coffin, okay?
Yeah.
And she loves hospice fraud.
Yeah, I think her her lips are red because that's where her blood is.
Right. Like, it's like, that's because that's what she thrives on to survive.
Yeah.
She's just sucking on O negative every day. It's not lipstick.
Yeah.
So
maybe she's nice.
She's not giving nice. So Judge Karen made unprecedented and restrictive decisions as to what evidence was allowed to be brought in and how the case would be divided. Despite these obstacles, 2 months later, the jury found 86% of the patient samples ineligible for some period of hospice care, which would make the other part of the trial much easier. So just a few days after Judge Karen announced that she had made a major mistake and she was overturning the jury's findings and granting AseraCare's request for a new trial, she said, I made a major mistake because y'all not doing what I had said when I coerced the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was doing coercion and nobody seems to really be coerced.
Hey,
so
can we start over?
Yeah. Run it back. This is like when you're playing like Monopoly with like your kid cousin who wants to change the rules when they start losing.
Oh, yeah. When I land on
this is like
jail,
Twitter with
means,
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, y'all making fun of me? We got new terms of service. Yeah. No making fun of me for the public safety of everybody.
You can't, no posts. No posts. Yeah.
It's a lot of tweeting happening on Twitter, and we got to stop that.
If you see me somewhere, you actually didn't, though.
Yeah. No, that's doxing. Yeah. If you see me somewhere.
You say where I am?
Yeah. I don't care if I was on TV. You can't tell nobody about that.
Yeah.
So 5 months later, Judge Karen awarded judgment to Asera Care without completing the trial. So then she was like, you know, let's just wrap this up. It's taking too long.
I'm bored of this. I'm done with this.
I'm done with this. Okay.
I'm not even that person anymore.
Y'all, I'm actually going to go into the sun. So.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until 20.
Ow, it hurts. They're doing it.
And listen, if you're out there and you are a pale girly, I love a pale girly, okay?
Me
She's
too.
Just evil, okay?
I stand behind my goth queen.
Yes. So it wasn't until 2019 that a retrial occurred, which resulted in a settlement for $1 million paid by Asera Care. The original claim had been for $200 million. So they got off scot-fucking-free because Judge Karen was out here criming all for her son's internship. She must have been getting paid behind closed doors.
A judge? Lacey.
You can't just say something like that's
never happened before.
You're right. She's a woman of the cloth, okay?
Yes.
She takes that fabric seriously. So in 2020, the company was bought for $235 million by Amedisys, a company facing its own similar charges. So now the crime companies are absorbing
each
other.
We saw you were doing that, and we do it too, so we'll buy you.
How did y'all get away with the fraud in the government?
Yeah.
We'll buy you, so because we also would too. Like, y'all got Judge Karen number and her and Judge's son?
You guys don't have receipts, right? Good. Okay.
Okay,
good.
Great.
Good. Good.
Yeah. We like to holler at Judge's son as well. So now in 2022, a moratorium has been placed on hospices in California due to an investigation that was uncovered. It's uncovered thousands of for-profit facilities with fictional patients and staff. So now they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. Instead of harming real-life human beings, let's make them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, now we're back to improv, aren't we? Now they're doing a fucking third beat.
It's a bit. And you know what? I like this bit better because at least we're not harming real people. And I would think it was hilarious if, like, the government starts visiting these for-profit hospice centers. And they're like, why are all the beds empty? And they're like, oh, it was a bad day. Everyone died.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
today.
Yeah, this was bad.
Yeah, you should see the morgue.
They're, like, running around with a bunch of disguises and being like, I'm this one.
They're hiring people off Greg's. It's like, just lay in the bed and convalesce.
Cough a little bit.
Yeah. Some of y'all put out some owls.
Yeah,
a few owls when the government comes, okay?
Get the casting sheets for the extras on House.
Literally. And you know what? As actors, I would do
that
job.
I was just at a taping for something recently where there were a bunch of actors like in the audience for taping, and I was like, y'all do anything?
Listen, and I love that for them.
That's great.
I would be like, yeah, I was in bed number 4. It's on my IMDb.
Yeah. Go do it.
There were no cameras, which was odd, but I did get paid my $25 stipend.
Yeah, and best sleep of my life.
Right. And they had Jimmy John subs for lunch, so.
Yeah, they were dry, no condiments. They sort of had a no condiment rule, but it was
good. They said it helped with the authenticity of like dry throat.
Yeah.
They gave us Popeye's biscuits and said, go off, okay? It's gonna give. Yeah. So. They found out that they're doing all this fraud. There are a few regulations or requirements to opening a hospice in most states, which has led to instances such as single addresses in Los Angeles being listed as having 129 hospices owned by a professional landlord. So now these empty buildings in L.A., they're calling them hospices.
Oh, great.
So despite this, each business is valued at six figures and are constantly being bought and sold. So this is full crime. Between 2011 and 2019, research shows that a number of hospices owned by private equity firms tripled and the quality of care has decreased. And PE, guys, so fucking bad. In 2018, the Office of Inspector General at the Department of Health and Human Services estimated that inappropriate billing by hospice providers had cost taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. It's expensive to die in America. It's expensive to live in America.
Yeah.
And Asera Care set the precedent that the companies are allowed to manipulate the process of passing away to meet their financial goals. There's no fucking way in hell that this should be on the stock market, that there should be investors and shareholders. Like, this is a public service that we pay taxes for, and private equity again swoops in and does what capitalism does and puts a price tag on it and just makes it the sickest shit in the fucking world.
We're gonna soon be paying monthly, I mean, I guess we do kind of rent and stuff, but like we're going to have a subscription service for life. Like, you're like, okay, you want to live? It's $99
a
fucking day.
We already do.
Yeah, yeah.
A life is basically a streaming platform.
And you can't cancel.
Nope. And you need to have all of them. It's like, okay, look, if you want a piece of food, you need Hulu Plus, okay?
Yeah,
now, if you want good food, you got to subscribe to no ads.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
You want medical care, but you better get you some Netflix, okay?
And, like, ads when you eat bad food is, like, stuff that's like not good for you.
Yeah, it's nitrates and it's like chemicals.
Yeah.
It's like if you want chemical free, you gotta upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta pay a little more. Oh, you don't want GMOs?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want pesticides?
Yeah.
Lord Chen once wrote an amazing joke in Florida Girls that was like, we go to a rich person's house and I touch their avocados and I'm like, oh, avocados. And these are organic. That means they ain't got no poison on them. And that's literally what it is. You have to pay to not have poison.
Yeah,
that's an upgrade. No poison? Oh, okay. You
hey,
talking?
I don't taste the poison on
this. Yo, you got money.
It must be good to be the king.
Yo, it's ass. It's such ass. But Sarah, fuck y'all. Y'all are terrible, and I can't believe that you got away with this. Judge Karen and Judge's son, y'all are terrible people, and I really do hope that every time you go out in the sun, it's like a magnifying glass.
It just hurts.
Just sizzling.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's what you deserve. All right. We're going to move on to the saddest part of the show, which it actually isn't today, because the saddest part of this shit is these motherfuckers.
Yes.
Like, what pieces of goddamn just repugnant shit.
Yeah, you should be able to...
Honestly, worse than shit, because at least excrement has a purpose. You know, that can manure, it can grow grass and shit. Like, y'all are worse than that.
You should, at the very least, at the end of your life, be guaranteed, like, dignity and, like, respect,
and care.
At least.
And
that's so
for these people, I wish that they would have to go to a hospice, a bad one, and where they pinch on you every day and don't change your bedpan. You know, just little pinches under the arms.
I don't want to get pinched.
I want to get pinched so much and just tormented.
Oh, the calendar every day is St. Patrick's Day, and I'm not wearing any green.
Yep. The only channel you allowed to watch is the whatever that TV guide is in the hotels. Just Mario Lopez for the rest of your life. Man, he's describing all the shows beautifully, and he looks gorgeous, but you never get to watch any
say,
of them.
It could be a lot worse.
Yeah, you know, he's too entertaining. Yeah, and that smile.
That dimple, I heard, doesn't have a bottom.
Yeah, y'all don't deserve his dimples.
No.
You know what? Just a fuzzy screen. Like,
oh,
when you go
like
to
a
the different input.
It's Mario Lopez still, but you can't really see the definition of the dimple.
Oh, yeah, because then that leaves them wanting.
Yeah, you're like, I know he has it.
Yep, and you can't, we'll never let you see it, bitch.
Yeah. Because
you don't deserve it. Yes. So that brings us to the end of the show. But before we go, Scammer of the Week. This is where we highlight an honorary charlatan that's worthy of our praise, or maybe not, like Marsha's bitch ass who got away too scot-free for my liking and Judge Karen's old raggedy ass. but today we're talking about a former officer of the Johnson County Sheriff's Office in Kansas. He's had his police license revoked after he was caught trying to scam a store out of nearly $400 worth of Pokemon cards. Wait a minute.
Okay, so actually, he did nothing wrong.
I don't know, and
this is a very rare one for me.
We don't stand up for cops, but it's...
Look,
I host the video
game podcast. I love Pokemon. This guy... I'm turning the other way.
I mean, I had a Charizard once that I got randomly out of a cereal box, and that was when Charizards were worth like a lot of money. And I like sold it to somebody who really was into the Pokies and made a coin in school. You know what I mean?
And this is really just hard for me as like a guy that like hates cops.
Yeah,
and loves Pokemon. This is really.
I mean, I wish more cops, when they say gotta catch them all, if y'all didn't mean black people, if more of y'all were doing Pokemon than trying to catch us.
Maybe they sort of took the lessons of Pokemon and applied it to the carceral system. And that is sort of like, maybe they got the wrong thing from it. Yeah, so I have to actually boo this man, and I can't support
him. Yeah, we were tomato. Yeah. So William Knight, 32 years old, quite young, had been a full-time cop with the department since March of 2019. He was in uniform buying groceries and a large number of Pokemon cards. When he aroused suspicion, I thought it said he was aroused at first. I said,
It just keeps getting worse. This guy's fucking hard.
Putting holes in the Pokemon cards. No, so, I mean, some people say that some of them are sexy, okay?
Look, that's a conversation for another day.
Okay, some Pokemons is bad bitches. Okay, so he aroused suspicion of an in-store asset protection investigator. I love a cop getting taken down by a store cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the audacity.
When I worked at a store, they would just, like, chase you through the store, kind of, and then once you get out the door, they're like, well... That's kind of where that goes.
Yeah, that's where I came.
What are you going to do?
You chased them to the edge of the earth.
Yeah.
They won't let me leave
and
here.
And chased is a strong word. I mean, followed a little bit.
Yeah, like a high-paced walk, because you know they can't run good.
Yeah, no, they can't.
No. Also, what's interesting to me is, like, does an in-store cop even have cuffs? Does he have to be like, hey, let me borrow your cuffs to
no,
put you
it's
in
more
them?
Of like a you come here with me situation, and I guess
to
you,
the
just,
back room.
You just do it.
Yeah, I feel like I just have to be like, no.
If you've ever been caught at a grocery store in a loss prevention situation, and you went with them,
yeah, don't go with them. I just feel like walk the other way or maybe run. Start hollering.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe put the thing back and be like, I'm my bad. You
know? This is mine. Try that.
Yeah.
I came with this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still got a barcode on it and a sensor, but I came because I actually need to get it taken off.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought this before. I didn't bring the receipt. The sticker, it was stuck on it.
I once bought an air fryer from Target, and it had that little alarm soundy thing on it. I bought it through the self-checkout and actually paid for it. I'm sure Sandy got hella air fryers for the free 99. Shout out to you, Queen. But I paid for it. And then when I got out and I like cut the little sensor off at home, it started making an alarm. And I was like,
I'm at home.
Yeah. But I'm not going to give them no tips.
No.
Y'all take
no.
them air fryers,
yeah,
okay?
No.
Everybody
yeah,
needs a ninja.
Sandy's running a ghost kitchen in her house with a bunch of air fryers that she
took. And I love that. For her.
Yeah.
So the protection asked that investigator is like, huh, mischief is afoot.
Yeah.
So initially he tried to leave saying he had to respond to a call. He was like, I got a 299 cop thing happening.
Yeah.
But eventually he admitted that he had swapped out the barcodes on the boxes for cheaper items. Wow. The cop told the truth. So
wait. Is that the first time that's ever happened?
Might be on record.
God.
So Knight was reportedly arrested and booked into the Johnson County Adult Attention Center on May 13, 2022, before he posted bond of $2,500. $2,500 for Pokemon cards is a lot, but a cop going to jail, you know,
yeah, but think
priceless.
About what he could have pulled. He could have pulled something big and then, you know, one card could have got him out free. Who knows?
So he has since escaped criminal charges, duh. Though he's no longer employed as a police officer in Jefferson County or anywhere else. So I will say this. You must be, like, really unlikable to the police officers. Maybe they didn't like your bitch ass. Maybe you was heating up fish in the microwave every lunch. Like, you was doing something to get on them police officers' nerves because they let murderers wholly come back.
I was going
to
say.
They let people who do murders on video get paid, leave, and come on back to the Christmas party and shit. Bitch, you got fired for Pokemon cards? Oh, they didn't like you.
Yeah.
Was you farting a lot? You ate a lot of beans? You was thinking up the meat?
This guy's a fucking dork. We can't have him work here.
Not even that. A lot of cops are dorks. Most cops.
Yeah, all cops are
ACAD,
dorks.
All cops are dorks. So if you got fired from the police, that means they really just, you had bad vibes.
Oh, you like rules? You fucking dork.
Right. Like, I'm confused. How do you get fired from the police?
Yeah, we should send this to them. This story would be like, see, you can fire them.
Yeah.
Like, they can be fired.
So maybe
it's
like
allowed.
Let's start firing them for the murders and for the harassment because you fire somebody for Pokemon cards, bro. Like, yeah, they didn't like his vibes.
Yeah.
In a statement from his lawyer, it says in quotes, "Unfortunately, in a time of severe stress and anxiety, he exercised poor judgment, leading to his arrest and charge."
Don't.
You know, the cop girlies love to come at us with I was afraid. I have anxiety.
I was afraid.
I was afraid I wasn't going to catch them all.
Yeah, I needed, what were you trying to fucking get? Like, they're not that expensive.
No.
If you're buying them in bulk, he stole $400 worth or something, $4,000 worth?
$400.
Yeah, $400. That's quite a bit. That's a lot of...
That's a lot of anxiety.
That's a lot of boosters.
If this honestly inspires me, though, like, this is the story that we need to start waving in these police departments' faces, because why are we letting cops literally get away with murder, but they can't get away with Pokemon?
Yeah, it's a success story, kind of. It's like, you can actually fire them.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe they didn't know. They just didn't know before. Like, you get, and we could be helping them.
The last thing I ever want to do. But, all right, y'all, that brings us to the end of the show. And as we always ask on the show, Matt, where would you like to be found? Any socials while they still exist?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a tough question to answer now.
Any shows?
I don't know if I want to be found on Twitter. The husk of my account is still there. I'm on social media, I'll say, as Matt Apodaca. You can find me on the ones that exist.
Yes.
And if I'm not there...
Playboy. Follow this big man.
Yeah, big man Playboy, Matt Apodaca, on all social medias. You can listen to Get Played wherever you get your podcasts. And then our Patreon, Get Animated, patreon.com/getplayed, where we talk about anime stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yes. And it's always, guys, snitch on your friends, your family, your enemies, the police, at scamgotuspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired because we don't want to fuck up your bag.
Unless it's the police scam.
Unless it's the police scam. Yeah, then, like, for sure. Send names and photos. And as always, you can find me at DIVALACI, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Ooh. Congregation, stay sandying.
Honestly, yeah, Sandy.
Scam bag go. Scam bag go.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And maybe just bag go, baby.
I said scam bag go. But also, yeah, bag and go works as well.
Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. the Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our recording engineer is Abby Aguilar. And our audio editor is Jesse Karen. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brand. Stay scamming.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.